Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you live and direct from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. When you switch to Farmers Insurance, you can save a bundle. All you have to do is call 888-FARMERS to get a quote today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Russell Wilson apparently listed, you know, four teams to be traded to. The Saints, that's not happening. Saints started $62 million over the cap. Cowboys, well, the latest report out of Dak's camp is that talks to the Cowboys are more productive than they've been. Okay, the Raiders. Yeah, Mike Mayock spoke about his quarterback, Derek Carr, a couple days ago. This seemed like a guy they're ready to get rid of.
I think Derek Carr had his best year yet under John Gruden. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and we couldn't be happier with him. And I tell you every year, I mean, we evaluate every position every year. I have no idea who might call me or who might not call me. So you have to do the evaluations both on your own players and every other player in the league. And you got to stack your boards and understand what league value is all around the league. And we do that. But if you're asking me about Derek, I mean, I think John and I would both stand shoulder to shoulder and pound the table for Derek Carr.
Well, there you go. I mean, that does not sound like a guy who's trading his quarterback or cutting his quarterback, right, which he could do before a contract extension is reached. So let's start with and end with the Bears. This from Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune. The thinking among multiple sources is the Bears have prioritized making a run at Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. Jeremy Fowler expects the Bears to take their shot. Russell Wilson likes their offensive line. He's intrigued by offensive head coach Matt Nagy and believes Chicago is an intriguing market. I mean, look, my take is very simple. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, one, I don't think Seattle is going to or wants to trade him. Two, you're down to the Bears. And I understand the Bears have searched long and hard for a franchise quarterback. They searched long and hard. And by searching for a franchise quarterback, if you can have one who's already developed, already under contract, land at your doorstep, even better. Even better. But be careful what you wish for, right? There's no relationship there with Nagy. The system that he runs is a hybrid of the same system in Kansas City. And while you can sit there and go, like, look what Pat Mahomes can do, look at the skill position guys Pat Mahomes has. I'm not saying it's not a win for the Bears, but what is Russell Wilson thinking? What are you thinking? In fairness, the Bears have the exact same record over the last 3 years as the Indianapolis Colts, and everybody thinks that everything that's been done in Indy is brilliant and everything that's been done in Chicago is stupid, but they're essentially the exact same football franchise, just with different markets and different expectations. One team got shunned by its franchise quarterback because he's just been injured too much. The other team moved mountains to draft a quarterback at number two, and it just wasn't good enough. But this is a be careful what you wish for because you might get it. For the record, I don't think Russell Wilson's getting traded to Seattle. I'm getting traded from Seattle. I don't even think they're contemplating it. Like, if somebody wants to show up and move mountains and you're talking about three first-round picks and a couple of players, well, then we'll have to have a long, hard conversation and maybe, just maybe. But if it's we're going to ditch him because he's done, like, nah, dude, he's under contract. He ain't going anywhere. It just, this, the noise might grow louder, but the story hasn't really changed. Like, people, oh, this is an era of player empowerment. No, it's not. It's the exact same era we've always had. You know, Eli Manning, draft day, forced a trade, you know, said, I'm not going to San Diego. And John Elway didn't want to play for the Baltimore Colts. Like, we've seen this before. Let's just stop with it's the new era. The only new era out there is social media, which amplifies small sounds. It's the same thing we have in terms of the rest of society. There are problems. Those problems are amplified and made more ever-present based upon social media. We're out of things to talk about. I'd love to talk about college basketball today. I spent three games in Logan, Utah, back and forth, and I loved it. And I got great stories for all across. But America's like, man, just give me the bracket. Let me see if I can win my pool. Can't talk about regular season NBA because it feels like they've been playing perpetually since they started those games in quarantine in Orlando. There's no college football. I mean, FCS, nobody talks about in the regular season, let alone in the spring. Baseball. Right? So we got to talk about football. And in this week of we're out of stuff to talk about, it's maybe Zach Wilson should go number one. And here's the new one. Also, Wilson to the Bears makes a lot of sense. For who? The only people it makes sense for is the Bears. That's literally the only people on earth that's like, ah, that makes total sense to us. We like that. Russell Wilson coming to the Bears, it makes a lot of sense. Let me explain it to you. We need a quarterback, and he's a really good quarterback. There you go. Makes sense. Like, okay, but that's not what we were getting at or getting to. That's not even close. Not close. So I understand that you, every day, you turn, you read, you're like, ooh, Russell Wilson. Ooh, now it's, the Bears are taking a shot. The Bears might take a shot. And Russell Wilson, you know, might want to go there. But one, thinking you want to go there and really going there are two different things, right? Two, why would Seattle do that? You know, Russell's not going to not play. Russell Wilson wants so badly to be well-liked that he won't even demand a trade. All he wants, he just wants people to go, you're great. You're Walter Payton Man. You can't win Walter Payton Man of the Year and then demand a trade mid-contract with a team that drafted you and supported you when you weren't throwing for 200 yards, built an entire team around you, gave the biggest contract in the history of sport. You're like, you can't do that. Like, he's not a complete dolt. He's got a massive ego, but not one that blocks his thinking in his cerebellum. No. So this is just a case of Russell Wilson not really ready to go to the mattresses, not really going to sit out, is on a playoff team, trying to throw his weight around. Hey, man, you know, I could go to the Bears. Careful. Seattle might get to the point where, like, all right, fine, go to the Bears, have fun. You know, go to the Bears, have fun. The interesting part about it is, in his desperate need for some sort of control, in his desperate need to change their offensive line, which they're going to change anyway, Russell Wilson's kind of lost himself in what made them successful to begin with, right? Like, they won a Super Bowl against the Broncos because their defense. The game was over from almost the first snap because of the defense. The second Super Bowl, he had a big part in, no question. Shouldn't have gotten there. They should have lost to the Packers because their offense and Russell Wilson was crummy against an injured Aaron Rodgers. And they got lucky and they found a way to get in there and then lost to the Patriots. But those two teams were because of dominant defenses. And yeah, good offensive line. But he also had no say into the offense. None. So now later in his career, he wants more say into the offense and wants them to rebuild their offensive line, which they were going to do anyway. And if not, I'm going to go to Chicago because I think I like the idea of Matt Nagy. No, what really is it's a huge city that would wrap their arms around any sort of quarterback. That would be you. You look in that division and the Vikings, Lions, rebuild. Packers, legit, but two playoff teams can come out, maybe even three of the same division. You'll be fine, just like the Seahawks would be fine in the NFC West. But why would the Seahawks trade him? Until you can find an answer to that question, it's not even a question worth asking. You know? I mean, look, I don't think the Texans truthfully want to trade Deshaun Watson, and to this point they haven't, but if they do, it's because they're in complete rebuild mode. They are absolutely gutting the house, and they're absolutely starting over. I don't think Deshaun Watson's going to sit out. I don't care what anybody says. Like, he ain't sitting there. Dude's like, it's one thing to get hit with a bill for $50,000 when you got $70 million. When you get hit with a bill for $21 million in potential fines, yeah, that one kind of stings. That one kind of hurts. I don't think Deshaun Watson's sitting out. I just don't. A game? Maybe. A preseason game? Maybe. Don't know. But wasting your own career away, like, look, if the Texans get to the NFL draft and they haven't traded Deshaun Watson, they ain't traded him. And he can sit there and collect dust for all they care because they got him under contract. But the only reason it makes sense is they're rebuilding. They could get a cornucopia of picks. They get a couple players. And they could start the rebuild mode. But even then, I doubt it happens. It's not Carson Wentz, who they wanted out of town. They weren't a playoff team. It's not Jared Goff, who had led them to a Super Bowl, but had a huge, huge number in terms of his salary, and they were fed up with his play. They're not fed up with Russell Wilson. He's got to play better. They got to rebuild and build a better team. They were a playoff team, and I don't see them bailing on their quarterback anytime soon, even if he wants to bail on them. Coming up next, I saw this, and it was kind of interesting. LeBron James took a shot at the Utah Jazz, and he did it in the most formulaic fashion possible. But is he right? We'll share that with you next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio. It's Doug Gottlieb Show live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS to switch and you can save a bundle on your auto insurance. Last night they had the Team Durant, Team LeBron, the two top vote getters, two top players in the NBA picking the All-Star game, pickup game, if you will. This is LeBron explaining why the Jazz players are picked last.
I just want to say something, because there's no slander. There's no slander to the Utah Jazz, but you guys got to understand, just like in video games growing up, we never played with Utah. Even as great as Karl Malone and John Stockton were, we would have never picked those guys in video games.
He's right. Okay, first of all, like, there's no bigger John Stockton fan than me. And in NBA Jam or NBA Live, I've never played as the Jazz, ever. Maybe I should have, but I never did. I also think, if anything, it's a term of respect. Here's how I see it. I know that people like to go like, whoa, Rudy Gobert, last pick. Oh, he stinks. If you say that into an open microphone, what you're saying to somebody is, I don't actually know anything about what wins basketball games. Okay, let me say that one more time, okay, so that we can record it and we can clip it. And then we can send it out on Twitter. So I make sure that everybody knows that what I'm saying, anyone worth a piece of fecal matter knows to be true. If you think that Rudy Gobert and the way he plays, okay, isn't special, doesn't translate into wins, if you don't understand his value in real basketball, then you know what you should do? Recuse yourself from ever speaking about the sport ever again. That's what you should do. I don't care what company you work for. I don't care what you think your credibility. I watched the NBA. I know the NBA. And I talked to, you didn't talk to anybody. Gobert is a game changer. Now, look, I know Shaq has had his fun with Rudy Gobert, but Shaq's a different player. It's also a different era. And it doesn't mean that because he's a dominant defensive big guy that he's always going to get the better of everybody. But he changes shots. He changes the game. And the way the NBA game is played now, he might be one of the three or four most valuable players. Like, by the way, if you're defaming Rudy Gobert, you're basically saying, hey, You know, Bill Russell wouldn't have picked him. What did he do? He blocked shots, rebounded. And I know that if you look at his stats now, it's not even worth talking about. Bill Russell wasn't a particularly good offensive player. Didn't matter. He won all those championships as a player, then as a player coach. He arguably the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And he did so many times taking down Wilt Chamberlain, who everyone would have selected. Like, this is honestly the reason the video game thing, it totally makes sense to LeBron because he's right. Like, this is not a real basketball game. In a real basketball game, you need Rudy Gobert. Block shots, to roll and finish. But here you just, it's just one-on-one. It's junk. It's a waste of time game. It's just a bunch of dudes going one-on-one, throwing lobs, nobody playing defense. And he's not really that useful there. Right? And John Stockton and Karl Malone, kind of like same thing when they play an All-Star game. It's like almost uncomfortable. Like, yeah, we showed up because they told us we had to. But the truth is, we prefer to play real basketball. Real basketball. And so what happens is, again, people that don't know basketball are like, well, you're slandering the Jazz, but no, he's not. This is where LeBron shows his basketball IQ while lacking a little bit of articulation to what he meant. A little bit, right? I mean, he was just being funny. He's like, look, we play video. That's what this is. It's a video game. Have you played 2K? I do. I play with my son several times a week. Do you know what doesn't happen in 2K? Nobody plays defense. Nobody plays defense. It's almost impossible. Like, put LeBron James on your team. Play with the Lakers. You can't stop him. He makes everything. Why? Because nobody wants to play a video game to play defense. They just don't. And nobody wants to see an All-Star game where dudes are blocking shots and moving the basket. That's what everybody thinks. Now, me personally, I would love it if they would actually like put a big pile of money and they played and they got after it and it was really competitive. But that's not really the way the NBA All-Star game works. All-Star game, they just go up and down and throw lobs and do moves and, you know, a little bit of defense just, you know, so if somebody challenges you. And then like the last 5 minutes, guys are like, oh, maybe now we'll play a little bit hard. You know? And if you say, well, that doesn't make sense, how many times have you not punted in your own territory in Madden? How many times? You know, fourth and third, like, I got to go for it. Otherwise, I'll just turn the machine off, right? Correct? So, I don't, LeBron is completely accurate. Nobody played as the Jazz in video games. It's not real basketball. It's like a video game. Those guys are real basketball players. In a real game, I'd take Rudy Gobert probably fourth or fifth, maybe even higher. Like if LeBron James on one team, I want Rudy Gobert on my team. Because you know what it does? LeBron James is looking for Rudy Gobert for when he goes to the rim. You know? Now, he's not a great offensive player, but there's two ends of the basketball floor. That's not slander. That's accurate. Maybe he didn't articulate it well enough, but part of it is people are like, well, he's just waiting here. He can pick. Just shows he sucks. No, just shows it's not a real basketball game. Right? Like in a real basketball game, you need real basketball players that move the ball, that play defense, that understand spacing. You only have one guy go and get his, maybe two. Everybody else has to fit in roles. That's not what an All-Star game is.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio Studios. John Middlecoff joins us to announce the podcast. And you started with something on your pod, because I was listening to it earlier today, which I was in prepping for the show. I talked to my buddy who works in Chicago with the team. And he's like, they're listening. They're listening. We don't know if they'll actually do it, you know, but they're listening. Do you think they're past the point of no return with the Seahawks?
Yeah, I mean, I when something like this comes out with a guy who is so calculated in Russell, to me it shows you that they've been thinking and doing and things have been getting weird for a couple of years. Now, unless you're there, you don't really know the details. And I think it's hard to understand, like from the outside. It's like, well, they just what don't they really get along? Like, they win 12 games. Think about this. For as great as the Packers season was, and they had the best season, it feels like, in the NFC, Rodgers won the MVP, they hosted the NFC Championship game, they won one more game than Seattle. One more game. And the NFC West is a lot more difficult than the NFC North. So it's like Seattle, people, one issue I think players have, but I think specifically Russell has, is he's got this false sense of reality. He's comparing himself to Tom. Like every other quarterback, Rodgers won one Super Bowl. He's only been to one Super Bowl. It's like if you just compare yourself to other normal quarterbacks, non-Tom Brady, I think you'll be happier.
Not just that, like everything, he compares himself to people that he's like, he has, and this is part of the problem with marrying a superstar, right? When you marry somebody who's a star and you feel like you're a star, you're like, well, in his interview with Dan Patrick, he talked about Tom Brady. He talks about that, like Pat Mahomes, like you're not those guys. You're just,
but also
not. You're not Drake. I'm unlimited. Like everyone seems to know who Russell is, except for Russell, and Russell wants to be a guy that he's not.
I just don't remember Tom talking about brand and legacy really till recently with the brand and TB12 the last 2 or 3 years. But Tom never touches legacy. Whenever they ask him about the Super Bowl, he's like, "The next one. I want to focus on the next one." And Russell feels like he's become, like, in this weird way, like you described, just kind of. I don't know, this like crossover start, which is fine, but that can cause issues in football because I think some of his other teammates are like, bro, what's your deal? Like the thing with football, this isn't baseball. It's not like an individual sport played as a group. It's not basketball where, you know, there's a clear line of delineation between the star and the next guy. In football, even if you're the star quarterback like Mahomes, ask anyone in Kansas City, like he acts completely normal. And the guys love him. Like, he has people over for beers, you know? I mean, that's part of being a quarterback. And you just wonder, like, you know, if Russell has lost. Maybe he's never had it. But the reality with him, he's so good, it doesn't necessarily matter. With the trade, though, to me, there's only – the Raiders are the only team of the list that makes sense. Seattle is not – Pete, at 69, 7 years old, is not trying to lose. He's not going to trade to, like, the Saints for 4 first-rounders. Who's going to play quarterback? To me, the Raiders are the only team that have – they can trade him Carr, who makes less money, give him some first-round picks, and they probably feel they can win with Derek Carr. Like, to me, the other teams just, like, how do the Bears make any sense? They went 8-8, so their pick isn't in the top 10. They don't have a quarterback to give them. Like, who's going to play quarterback for Seattle?
Not just that, but, like, even if they can pull it off, you're going to have to trade a couple of assets back. You have to trade a bunch of picks back. Are we sure that he's in a better situation? You know, I should have a say in it. Like, okay, well, we went to 2 Super Bowls. Did you have a say then? Oh, you want a say in player personnel? Did you pick any of the rest of these guys in this roster? I personally think it's the Antonio Brown thing. He's sitting there up next to Roger Goodell, and he's watching Antonio Brown play. He's like, dude, we could have had Antonio Brown. And I'm sure he ran it by Pete and those guys. Like, we can't take Antonio Brown, dude. He's a mess. You know? But again,
well, And it's like, we've tried this, but we traded for Percy. We got Josh Gordon. Like, we're not afraid of Antonio Brown, but we've taken some swings on guys like that and it failed. So we're not going to do it this time. Like, if that's like his big take, it's like, well, who are your other personnel moves? You want to break down the draft? You know, I think people get a false sense. I think I saw Jason Light, maybe said this with Colin, maybe said this somewhere else. Is Tom is not giving them a list of guys to sign and mandating it. He's like, yeah, you want Gronk? He's like, he'll come with me. They're like, cool. It's not that complicated. Some people, like, on social media act like Russell has his own draft board. You know, they just – like, the reason Rodgers was, you know, angry or whatever this offseason wasn't because they didn't draft, like, specifically Brandon Ayuk. He probably didn't even know any of these wide receivers. He just wanted a wide receiver, right? And I think people think that, like, these quarterbacks are dictating maybe occasionally with a free agent, but as we all know with the NFL, it's complicated because there's cap and guaranteed money, and it's not – this isn't just – I think people think it's a lot more black and white than it actually is.
I agree. Okay, so if you're Seattle, is there any way in which you'd make the move?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be in the business of trading you know, Hall of Fame quarterbacks like in the peak of their powers, but if I was going to do it, of the list of teams – now, I would be – if I loved one of the kids in the draft, I would try to have work with Russell and try to get Miami and the Jets involved. But if he's not willing to go there, to me, the Raiders are the only team. If I'm Seattle and I like Derek Carr, because they would make some sense. They just hired the Rams offensive coordinator. I think Derek would be really successful in the Shanahan type offense. So you just maybe get, you know, Derek pick 17, you know, a couple more picks in future years. And you're just, you try to, you know, be competitive next year. Cause Pete, they're not going to do a rebuild reset in Seattle. He'll quit or retire or right? I mean, they're going to try to win. They're not just going to trade Russell Wilson and have no quarterback. That makes no sense.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What do you do if you're Dallas with your quarterback?
I just run it back, franchise them. I mean, people love to act like Jerry's an idiot on the situation. You and I have talked about this a lot over the last couple of years. Everyone's in such a rush to pay guys. I like Josh Allen as much as the next guy. He had one good year with no fans. Just see him do it again. You know, I get everyone wants to pay him this max extension, and I like Josh Allen. I mean, I've come around, hated him, now I love him, but I would not be in the business of extending him this year.
Here's one I saw Keyshawn Johnson. It's like, man, they should have got this done just like Goff and Wentz. How'd those deals work out for their team?
Terribly. I mean, awful. I think those guys work. And here's the other thing. Wentz is kind of a unique situation, right? There are so many variables. But Goff is a good example of a guy who's capped. I'd say Dak is more physically gifted, but his arm, they're kind of similar. And when you don't have a super high ceiling, your talent eventually hits a cap. Now, you can maintain that if you're a grinder, hard worker, and be a really solid player. But why would the Cowboys, you know, or just any, you know, good team, be in the business of paying a premium for a guy who's never going to be viewed as like a premium top 6-7 quarterback? And I think Kirk Cousins is a good example of that. Like, he's a solid player. He's actually probably better than most people thought he was going to be a couple years ago. Like, he's proven he's a solid NFL quarterback. But at 36 to, you know, 30 to 35 million, like, he'd be awesome at 20. Because part of being a 20 or $22 million quarterback, it allows you to have a better team. When you pay Mahomes huge money, well, it's like, yeah, he can make up for things. Same with Rodgers. Same with Russell Wilson. There's really just a couple guys. Even Tom Brady never makes that type of money because he knows my team's, it's a team sport. And ultimately, as a quarterback, you get blamed when you lose. Even if, you know, seven defensive linemen and a wide receiver got hurt, no one cares. They just blame the quarterback. I'm not saying take less money.
Except in Dallas, by the way. Except in Dallas, where they haven't beaten a good team in 2 years, and Dak has never been the problem. But when they won and he didn't do much, he got all the credit. Like, the Dallas thing with Dak is amazing. When they won his first year, they won 13 games. It's like, man, Dak Prescott. Now they can't beat any of the good teams. And it's like, hey, you got a great quarterback. You got to pay him. Like, wait, what? Those two, I don't understand.
Yeah, I think the problem for the Cowboys probably really wanted to extend him after like his third year. I would imagine a number in the 20s. And if memory serves me correct, that was the same time the other two guys got their extensions.
Right.
And then it immediately puts pressure because he just goes, well, I'm their equal. And in fairness, like, he's probably in their conversation as players, but as we've learned, neither of those guys are top 10 quarterbacks, so you don't want to be paying that.
Jalen Ramsey came out, and look, Jalen Ramsey's repped by David Mulgeta, same guy who reps Deshaun Watson.
Sean. Yeah.
And I just, you know, like, this feels like a power play from Mulgeta. Am I wrong?
What did Jalen Ramsey say? I didn't see that.
He said, I doubt he plays in a Texans uniform. Then he's like, he's really committed to this, and he
was commenting on Watson.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I just don't understand. Like, the media play for them is irrelevant. Like, I don't understand why they're so obsessed with doing this stuff. I mean, Mageta's always tweeting. I give Deshaun credit for the most part; he's kind of laid low. But it's not the way. I just don't think that's a way to get a deal done. You know, I have a lot of respect. Now, it clearly feels a little uglier in Houston, but Matt Stafford just went to the owner and said, hey, listen, I want to trade. And they agreed. And they just had a, you know, a face-to-face meeting. Tom Condon, that's the way business is done. If you really try to make it ugly, sometimes the team makes it ugly back. Says, okay, screw you. We're not going to trade you. And that it does feel like the way they've played it has almost incentivized Caserio in Houston to kind of double down and say, we're not listening to offers. Where maybe if they had played it differently, who knows? Maybe they're not here. Like, the tactic is not working right now because today.
Imagine if you're the owner, right? You're Cal McNair, and you sign off on the second biggest contract in the history of the sport, and you pay a guy 3 years of signing bonus up front, $73 million, and then you fire the coach. You know, and you start to rework things. The guy says, we need new culture change. He starts changing culture. And then the guy's like, yeah, I want out. But I'm going to keep my $73 million. Thank you very much. Like, how would you react? You'd be like, You wouldn't react slightly negatively. You'd be pissed. Pissed. And you'd have every right to be, no matter how right he is for wanting out.
I completely agree. And I just didn't part of firing Bill O'Brien was try because those guys wanted him out.
Yes.
You know, I think it's easy to blame the, and listen, I've heard not great things about Cal McNair.
No question. Me too.
So it's just, I think everyone plays a part in all this, you know, and it's just easy. Like the way the momentum grows, it's always the players. No one's even against Deshaun. I just understand why we could just call out his agent's philosophy on this is not working right now, clearly. And it feels like it's making it more toxic. Maybe that's their ultimate plan. They think it gets so toxic that they can force it, but we'll see. I mean, what if Caserio just refuses to budge?
I don't think he's sitting. He might sit. I mean, maybe you sit preseason. Maybe you're not sitting the whole season and losing $21 million.
If they don't trade him by the draft, I would say it gets a little more murky because a lot of these teams are going to fill some of their spots, right?
Are we falling in love with Zach Wilson because there's nothing else to talk about?
The knock that I've heard from my buddies in the league was that he weighs 200 pounds. 200 pounds. So, you know, Kyler, for example, is probably the smallest NFL quarterback, weighs 210, and he's just jacked. Now, this guy was awesome this year. In a year where there weren't really fans, their schedule was pretty crappy. I'm not trying to diminish. Like,
but it's not like he's lining up against the 85 Bears. I got it.
Yeah, and I just think that the hype on him is pretty strong. That there are definitely questions about his first couple years at BYU, maturity stuff. Like, nothing bad. But when you're a top two or three quarterback, you're nitpicked at a high level. And I think when you compare him to the other guy who's been viewed as this highly touted prospect, there are nothing off. Like, he is viewed as just perfect. He's kind of like a luck. Just smart, easygoing. Everyone likes him. The program loved him. That was not the case with Zach Wilson. Now, this year went good. I think things changed. Everyone liked him. But, you know, there are definitely question marks from the people that I know in the league that I don't think he's, like, viewed as some perfect prospect by any means, the way he's kind of getting talked about on social media.
Alex Smith, can he be a starter anywhere?
No, I mean, I have nothing but respect for the guy, but I thought his comments were kind of crazy. Like, Alex, love you, and you're like an American hero coming back from that thing, but you can't really – part of his game, Doug, was moving, was athletic. He never had a great arm. He can't move. I watched him this year. I remember that first game they put him in against the Rams. You're kind of holding your breath. You're like, I don't think he's safe back there. Remember, there was one play. I remember Aaron Donald jumped on his back, and I remember holding my breath like, oh, my God, I hope this guy gets up. He can't move. He cannot move. And a huge part of his success with Andy and even when Harbaugh was just getting him out kind of on the move because he was a great athlete. I hate saying this because what he coming back from was awesome. A huge part of the reason he played for Washington is they were one of the most desperate teams in years at quarterback. I mean, they literally
and they owed him a bunch of money. And remember, they would have liked him to retire because of injury, and it would have got him off the books. But he was on the books, and they needed somebody, and he was a stabilizing force. But, you know, when you're a mobile quarterback who won't throw the ball down the field, and now you're an immobile quarterback who can't throw the ball downfield, like, there's a reason Taylor Heineke started in the playoffs, and it wasn't because Alex Smith was too banged up.
I mean, there's a reason why the last couple of years it feels like people are like, Drew Brees, time to retire, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Last thing, Big Ben's coming back at a discounted rate. Is that a good thing for the Steelers?
Yeah, I just don't think they had a choice. You know, I think if they were drafting a little bit higher and had, you know, 4 or 5 win season, they might have just cut bait and ate the dead cap. But I think they start looking at the options and they just know they're kind of stuck. And they just, you know, if you're him, you just can retire basically a Steeler probably this way. And their team is still pretty good. People act like, you know, they're the Jags. I mean, I know they ended the season pretty poorly, but if he can just stay healthy and play 16 games, they should be a 9 or 10 win team next year and be in the playoffs. So I don't think he's made $253 million.
Wow.
So luckily for him, he probably has some money in the bank.
Yeah, I think he'll be okay. I think he'll make it. I think he'll be okay. You know, he's going to survive the pandemic. There's no question about it. John Middlecoff, 3 and Out is the podcast. Download it. It's excellent. You can follow him on Twitter at John Middlecoff as well. Thanks so much, dude.
See you, Doug. Later.
Hey, listen to that Bogut podcast, by the way. It's really good. You should like that.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS. You can save a whole lot of something on Farmers Insurance. Let's get to a game.
It's game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like they're cramming a full year's worth of cash back into one of those cash-shaped birthday cards. Cashback match only by Discover card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover something brighter. Ralph Urban, what do you got, my man?
Well, on Friday we have...
Psychic.
But I knew you knew that was coming, so...
Yes. You know why?
Because you're a psychic.
Psychic.
There you go. There you go.
And it's Friday. The NBA All-Star teams were picked last night. Psychic, who will win the All-Star MVP award?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Kevin Durant. Sure.
There you go.
I don't watch the NBA. I love basketball. I mean, like, this is kind of my... I love basketball. I don't watch the NBA All-Star game. Not basketball. It's awful.
Washington released quarterback Alex Smith.
You think they'll play hard when they don't even want to be there this time? They usually don't really want to play hard, and they want to be there. Now they don't want to be there. They can't go out, and they're simply doing it to fulfill a TV obligation. You think it's going to be good ball?
Roger that.
No, I think in the fourth quarter they'll try hard so they can get out of there quickest.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll just let the ball roll.
Oh, what do you got at, Ralph? I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No worries. Washington released quarterback Alex Smith. Will the comeback player of the year find a new team next season?
Yeah, he'll be backup quarterback somewhere. He wants to play, but he's struggling with the reality that he can't move anymore. Yes. Don't know where.
Six-time NBA All-Star forward Blake Griffin will become an unrestricted free agent that after agreeing to a buyout with the Pistons. You don't know where on Alex Smith, but do you know where Blake Griffin will end up?
I assume Brooklyn, right? That's what their bench will be littered with, these type of guys. You know, you're like, we'll just mix and match and find a spot for him, limited minutes. But man, he hasn't dunked this year.
He hasn't dunked in a number of years.
That's crazy. It's crazy. But hey, you know, you can feel bad for Blake Griffin all you want. He gets, what, $55 million or so? I mean, obviously he can negotiate a buyout to not play. Wow. How much do you think Blake Griffin has made in his entire NBA career without looking up?
I want to say about $200 million.
Ramos, what do you think?
I would say like $150 million.
$150 million. Well, this current contract, Ramos, was for like $117 million.
Okay, let's trip. How about $700 million
before this year, or no? Counting this year, $226 million. And he had 2 years left, 1 year left that he got bought out of, which is $38 million. So likelihood of $250 million. Business is good. What else you got?
The Baltimore Ravens proposed a booth umpire or a sky judge. The goal is simple, to add an official who has access to all the TV angles and can help the on-field crew make the right calls. Will this get approved? And if so, how will it be received in the first season?
I don't think it'll get approved. I think they may use it in a preseason or whatever. I think the problem is just going to be the length of time with everybody delaying. And you'll have officials struggle to make a call if you had it because they're so worried about being overturned.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
And part of it is we can't make it impossible to officiate games. We just can't. It's why the NBA is smartly like cutting down on the language and if you turn your body and look at it, you're like, why are they doing that? Because you can't make it impossible for guys to officiate. Then they're so tight, they won't want to make a mistake.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.